It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott Chan and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. You've got a full contingent of people in studio, plus one, Mr. Ryan Roth from Allo Communications, coming to you live from the Allo Fiber Studios in beautiful Midtown Greeley.
Oh, I was going to say, can I say it?
Oh, yes, you can say
beautiful Midtown Greeley.
We have to work on our timing next time, Doc. We'll just I'll just say, coming to you from, and then you jump in, beautiful Midtown Greeley. I love it. How you guys doing?
Not super. Too bad.
Yeah.
Been a very good day, thank you.
And it's good. Been a long week so far, so I'm really looking forward to sampling what we've got on the table.
We've got some really fun table beers, and then we've got a surprise, or I have a surprise for the rest of my panel for the review beer for today. So I'm excited, but we're not going to tell anybody what that is, including our in-studio people, until our third segment. So if you want to know what it is and what we're going to try, you got to stick around, because I'm not telling you until then.
That sounds okay to me.
Good. But, Doc, you should tell us, what are we having for our table beer?
I happen to bring some M2K2 in honor of your upcoming trip to London. This is our English pale ale that we make here in Greeley at the Rule 105 Brewing, just down the road. Still, I guess you could say it's Midtown, or is it Westtown by the time you get three blocks over?
I think we're still Midtown. I think you have to get, like,
where's the distinction?
Like, maybe 50th?
Okay, so then I'm just shy of that.
That's what I was 47th. Thinking. Yeah, because you can get all the way to like 103rd and you're still in Greeley. So
yeah.
I think that we could break it up into like thirds.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Even 60.
I'm okay with that.
That's so weird for me because 35th used to be the edge of town.
I know, right? Well, I know somebody who said 23rd used to be the edge of town.
Yeah. I'm not that old. When I was growing up, 35th was the edge of town.
I was going to say, because I remember when I was in high school in Westminster, and Greeley West was a part of our conference, and I remember coming up to Greeley to play them in baseball, and they were on the edge of town.
Yeah.
And that was 35th, and I remember.
They're east of us.
Yes, now they're east of us in beautiful Midtown. So, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, so this is our M2K2. It's a pretty nice drinking beer. We call it like our pub ale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice and goes down pretty easy.
Yeah, one of my favorites that you guys make over there, for sure.
It is definitely good. And because we've got Chad in the house, I've got to ask, what foods do you pair with this?
Oh, this is a versatile beer. This goes with a lot of different things. I mean, this is a good pizza, wings, burger beer.
Heck, we've even paired it with hot dogs before.
Yeah, hot dogs would be a great pairing. I think this is a great barbecue beer.
It's just a great beer.
Yeah. We actually use it when we make our wings at Rule 105. We actually use it as the liquid that we braise our wings in. So, just letting you know, if that you can do anything with it.
I like that. So, Doc, what is it about this beer that makes it an English pale ale? What are the elements that distinguish it from, like, an IPA or even, like, a regular?
So, English pale ales tend to have English-style malts. So we use a lot of Maris Otter malt, which comes straight from London, from the London area. We get it from Crisp Malting, which is just northwest, if I remember correctly, of London. We also then use hops that are characteristic of the styles that you might find in England. So we use East Kent Golding hops, which comes obviously from Eastern Kent. One of the areas up there. What's the other one we use? Oh my goodness, it's just escaping my brain right now. Oh, sorry.
It's a secret. You just don't want to give out.
Yeah,
we'll leave it there.
Oh, I remembered it now. It's Fuggles the other hop that we use, which is grown in England as well. So we use those two hops in conjunction with each other, and they make this beautiful kind of earthy kind of hop aroma, which is just perfect for a beer that you are just drinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those that you could sit down at a pub and just go, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
Let me have some hot dogs or lasagna.
Fish and chips.
I have to tell you, that is the thing that I have on number one on my list for my trip is, like, I need to go somewhere so I can have some really good fish and chips and a really good English ale. I was informed that apparently Boddington's is essentially now the English version of Foster's in Australia.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad. Because I really like Boddington's.
Boddington's is great over here. I wouldn't drink Boddington's over in London.
No, there's several other pub ales that you could have anywhere.
And I prefer the cask ales. So you might walk up to a bar and they have cask ales, and the cask ale price will be on the tap itself. And those prices will be half the cost of a tap ale. So, like, if you're thinking, oh, they're going to pour it and it's going to be all foamy and everything, you'll pay, you know, £5 or £6 for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want a cask ale where they have to pump it into the glass, mm-hmm. those will be like £2-2.5.
Interesting.
So it's the same kind of beer. It's just, it's a cask ale rather than a carbonated ale.
I swear I learn something every week on this show. It's so much fun to do.
So I strongly recommend the cask ale.
Okay. Well, you guys have obviously both been there, so you've been able to experience that. Ryan, how about you? Have you ever been across the pond and had some English beer?
I have not.
Okay.
One of those life goals, just to be able to go overseas and go to a pub and drink, whether in London, like you'll be able to experience, Ireland, a lot of incredible places over there I have yet to visit.
And it's so inexpensive now to get there and back. You jump on a plane in Denver like 6 o'clock at night, and you wake up and it's 8 o'clock in the morning in London.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
You don't even have to change planes.
That's fantastic.
So it's awesome. I totally recommend it.
Looking forward to it. So, Doc, you've obviously been there a number of times, and like you said, you brought the M2K2 because it actually pays honor and homage to England and that and everything
else. That's a good word.
So how many times would you say you've been there?
Six times.
And Chad, how about you? I know you've been across the pond a time or two.
Just once. London, yeah.
Okay. But what about other areas and regions in Europe?
Well, if we count Mexico.
No, Mexico's on the same.
Do we count Canada?
You didn't have to cross an ocean to get to Mexico. So
I've only made one cross of the Atlantic. So for our 25th wedding anniversary, we went and did a little tour of Germany and Amsterdam and those kind of places. And then afterwards, Wendy had a conference. My wife had a conference in London. So I just stayed an extra week and mooched off her company-paid hotel room. While she was at the conference, I just wandered around London on foot and took the tube everywhere and checked out what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
It's totally cool. Either riding a bus or the tube, you can get to anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Everybody's like, I got to take the tube. And then there's these hop-on, hop-off buses in certain areas that'll get you there. So I'm excited.
The best place to go to is Fuller's, but it's actually one of the few. It's the furthest from a tube station. So Fuller's Brewery, you just ride it out there, and then you have to walk about half a mile or so.
Which still isn't bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
You know what I mean? You got to walk a lot longer here in Greeley to get to the tube than you do.
That's correct.
It's true.
I mean,
the tube here might just be a drinking straw.
It could be, yeah.
So you never know.
I mean, now, you know, we do have a decent public transportation environment with the Greeley Evans Transit. So if you're out at your Rule 105, you've had a little too many, take the bus or an Uber and get yourself a ride home.
Yeah,
Don't drive.
Stop right outside our door.
Perfect. See, you are just in the perfect spot in Midtown Greeley.
And that is bus route number one.
It is.
Micah has the bus routes memorized.
The good news is there's only like, four or five?
I think there are seven.
Seven, okay.
All right. So it's not like Denver and you've got like four-digit bus routes and everything.
And the different color lines. And
Well, they do have different colors, which is helpful. But bus route one is also the red route.
There you go.
Well, that's...
The more you know.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, Ryan, this is, I think, maybe your first time, at least with me, a part of Brew Talk that you've been out and doing this. What are your thoughts on the beer so far, and what would you want to have as a meal with it?
Doc, you did a great selection tonight for our table beer. This really hits the spot after a long day, so highly recommend stopping by Rule 105, picking up a couple of four packs of these for the weekend, as you can never plan too early to get together with your friends and share a good beverage. So thank you for bringing that in tonight. Highly recommend. Solid choice tonight for your table beer. This would go with anything. I'd come home after work and have a couple of these. I'd watch some college football on the weekend and pull out a couple of them and just share with friends. So fantastic choice. Really enjoyed
it. It goes really
one.
Good with pumpkin dump cake we made today. And We all had a little bit of M2K2 to go with it.
Wow. Chad's smiling across the table with the pumpkin dump cake.
Well, you know, I'm a 12-year-old at heart. So dump cake just makes me giggle.
I know. Right.
So it has nothing to do with the ingredients, just
no,
the name of it.
No. You said dump cake.
I can't believe it. And then you said it again.
I did.
Doc, are there any other kind of dump cakes that you make?
No, that's the only one. And in fact, it's the one that is the least dump cake that you can get. You know, like, so typically you just like pour everything into a pot and throw it in the oven. Okay, well, no, this one you pull out the blender and go for it for
oh,
a little
wow.
bit. So, and then you put the cake on top of the goo that you make for the bottom. So,
yeah, that sounds pretty involved there.
It is. For a dump cake.
Yeah.
I said it again.
I'm going to be giggling about dump cake all night long. So.
So, Ryan, have you ever made a dump cake?
You know, I've made some dumps, but I've never made a dump cake. So
I've visited the dump before.
I've visited a dump before.
Yeah.
Used to get rid of a lot of junk up at the dump, but I've never actually had the privilege of making a dump cake.
It is the easiest thing that you could ever make.
Yep. You just throw everything.
Literally, you just throw it all into a pan. And I've made quite a few in my life, and it's literally just cake.
It kind of sounds like my whole cooking philosophy. Just throw it all in the pot and hope it works out for the best.
That is my philosophy, too. I'll throw it in there and let somebody else
sort it. It's gotten me this far, so I figure, why change now?
Might as well. Well, it's a great opportunity to either find something great or go, well, that isn't very good, and it took me almost no effort to get there. So
there you go.
That's right.
We'll throw it out and try again.
You didn't lose any sleep over it.
Nope, not at all. Usually, you're pretty good with that. So
you throw it out or flush it out.
Same thing.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you know what? We should probably go to a break because I feel like we are going down a route that we may not be able to recover from. And when we get back, Doc, we talked before the show that we were going to talk a little bit about parties.
Yeah.
And Christmas parties and Christmas ales and beers that you can bring to a party. So let's pay a few bills, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about that after the commercials.
Welcome back.
I love it.
That may be the best thing I've ever heard.
I know.
I agree. Wow. Micah, I'm almost afraid to ask where you found that. I know it's on the internet, so don't say that.
Well, Spotify can be very helpful with the search tool.
So apparently if anybody needs a dump cake song.
There you go.
Micah has found one for you.
King of dump cake.
Most of them are rap songs, just FYI.
Okay. That tracks, but I feel like you found one that fit kind of our music stylings that we usually go with here on Brew Talk.
I'm searching right now.
Oh, jeez. Chad's going to be sending Micah. Okay, lead in with this one. Here we go. All right. So Christmas ales, Christmas parties, bringing that all together. We're getting close. I mean,
this is a time to be planning it, right? So if you're going to try to have a party, you got to have like 10 days out before you start inviting people, right?
Well, yeah, Christmas is less than 3 weeks away, by
That's
the way.
Right. So you want to have your party, so mm-hmm. you're going to have to plan something to do. And this is the time to start thinking about what kind of beer you're going to take to the party. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk about what kind of things you might take versus others might take to a party as part of their beer offering.
Yeah.
So for me, do you take a light beer? Do you go for something that's sort of middle of the stream or do you go all out and try to find one of those Christmas ales? Because you go to the liquor store right now and you'll find those big gigantic kegs that you can buy there of Christmas ale, and it's like
Breckenridge has one.
Yeah, that's the one that we see most often here. And it's like, is that the one you are going to grab and take with you, or are you going to like just skip over that and go to something that's more traditional when you talk about a beer at a party?
It's a great question, Chad.
For me, I think I'm going to look for something that's like a 750 bottle that's, you know, something special, like a Christmas ale from a small brewery or a, you know, even a barley wine mm-hmm. or something along those route to it's a little more special than just a six pack of
right Modelo. You know,
Modelo, yeah.
I mean, but there's something to be said about each one that you take, right?
Right, absolutely.
Because, you know, when you take those craft style, you know, spiced porters or spiced stouts that have been oak aged for millennia.
Yeah.
And they're expensive as all get out. And you take those to a party. I mean, how many people at the party are going to get a chance to sample it? To begin with, and then second, how many are going to enjoy it?
Mm-hmm. See, that's my passive-aggressive way of forcing people to try something that's not
Modelo. I like that. Mm. I never thought of it that way.
You know, for this 4-ounce pour, that's like two Modelos, because this is
like 18%. It's like a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, don't drink it like a shot. Sip it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Taste the...
right?
Exactly. Yeah. What about you, Ryan?
I think I'd lean into something a little more holiday-themed, a little more Christmassy, instead of something you can get off the shelf every day, especially if there's something local at one of your local breweries that you can pick up and make the party a little extra special and just try to make sure that you're supporting local, whatever that looks like. So instead of going on the corporate side of things, make sure that you're, you know, checking out Rule 105 and seeing if they have a nice holiday beverage that you could bring.
We will shortly.
As an example. Yeah.
They definitely would. I think if you would have asked me that question 2 years ago, I would have said I would have probably brought Boddington's or something like that, something that I enjoy,
right,
and something that I'm going to drink because I have no idea if they're going to have anything there for me that I will enjoy. So I would have been much more selfish in my bringing. Now, I think I would be going and looking for a good local winter warmer. I mean, I would be looking for something a little higher in alcohol, something that I probably would not normally buy and drink, but to have that opportunity to engage. And to Chad's point, like, open up not only myself but other people. You may not have ever had this beer before. Let's try it and check it out and enjoy it as a part of the festivities.
It really is a good way to think about it. I never had thought of it that way because, you know, I'd seen the kegs or the casks or whatever you want to call them of Breckenridge beer, and I've seen others, but they're not really holiday spiced. It's just a more malty beer, and you know, you walk in with one of those, you might as well have walked in with a Boddington's or something like that. For me, if I were to go to a party, I probably would take two, to be honest with you. Ooh. I'd take the cinnamon, nutmeg, spiced, you know, beer that's just going to, you know, be 18% and has sat in somebody's cellar for a year. And I'd also take the one that's more of a drinkable kind that, because not everybody's going to want the.
And there's a lot of those out there. I mean, there's Isolation from Odell's. There's, mm-hmm. you know, Hibernation, which is a little higher alcohol, but it's still one of super approachable. And that's from Great Divide, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is Hibernation
Great Hibernation, Divide? I think, is from Great Divide, yeah. So, I was thinking of, like, visiting Avery. They have their Barrel Age series.
Yeah, for
like,
sure, yeah.
Mephistopheles and others like that that are really nice barrel-aged beers. And to your point earlier that we're talking about beers that you might have to purchase five of them every year or something like that, the barrel-aged series from some of the more corporate people, but there's still a barrel-aged beer. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever spend the $240+ to get a Utopia to take to a party.
It'd have to be a very special party.
It'd have to be my party and
people
my
I
house.
Like an awful lot.
And you're not tasting it unless you're one of my top 10.
Good point.
And
yeah.
You put $20 in the kitty.
It's like you charge it, you have a door charge. Yeah, it's like, you know, hey, it's a 2-drink limit, like, and there's a $25 door charge. Yeah, totally. It's like, wait, I used to pay like $2 or $3 to come into
instead
a cake
of a
party.
Solo cup, you get a,
not that kind of
a solo
party.
Cup, you get a thimble.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. So what I'm hearing you say is you would want to bring something unique, want to bring something that's interesting, but you don't want to go over the top. shop. And, you know, Chad, you were talking about like the 750 bottles, and I've seen that. I know that Weldworks does a bunch of different Media Noche kind of different pours over the course of the year. Which,
well, the one I think a lot of is Coopersmith's every year. Yeah. Fort Collins does a winter beer. They actually brew in January, and they kind of just let age throughout the year. Age. And then release it in December for their holiday ale. And it's always fantastic.
And Wiley Roots has done the same kind of thing with their beer we talked about last week.
Yeah, they're different. The four different what were those called?
Run from Midnight or something.
Yeah, the Midnight Run series.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, so those are really good.
That I think you'd want to bring because, you know, all your beer snob friends are going to want to come huddle around you when you do that. But then the people who are not really into beer might be more inclined to go with something a little bit more standard. Mm-hmm. And, of course, after you get your thimble's worth of Mephistopheles or whatever the beer happens to be, you're going to need something else to drink the rest of the night.
Well, and then those non-beer snob friends will go, ew, that was gross, and they'll go drink whatever they're going to drink.
That's right.
But your beer snob friends will appreciate that you took the time to bring whatever you brought.
Exactly. So.
And I think it's funny because as you're describing those people, Chad, I think I was one of those people 3 years ago. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Well, what are you drinking? Oh, that's terrible. And run away without the knowledge and the information and kind of the awareness that I've been able to gain by doing the show with you guys, that I would never do that. It'd be like, okay, what is this? Let me understand it. Let me get a taste. And, you know, Doc, Ryan, you'll get to experience it today, most likely. Doc does like a three taste rule. He never will give you any feedback. I mean, he will a little bit, but he really wants to get a good feel for the beer before he actually gets into kind of reviewing it and talking about it. And I think that's really important.
Interesting is the word we're looking for.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting has two meanings.
It does.
So
it's all in the delivery from Doc.
Yes, it is.
And it is true. You should never make a decision on the first or second sip. You need the third sip to really clean off all your palate, and then you can make that decision. Or decision is not the right word. Then you can make the call on what you're tasting and what the odor is. And
definitely. Kind of stuff, so. Well, and we saw that really up front last week with the one that we were trying because it was like,
oh my,
wait, what? And then we even went so far as to open up that second can and go, okay, is this just a can thing or something else? And not trying to knock on the beer that we reviewed last week. We're not going to mention them again. But it just, you have to make sure that is this really what you're getting and what you're tasting, or is it something completely different?
and feedback.
Yeah, well, you know, Chad's thing was getting, you know, Siri was trying to answer the question about what was the best beer to take to a party.
Well, checking my emails and then...
Well, that's a good question, having Siri tell us the answer. Oh,
we should check that.
What beer should you take to a party?
Yeah, what beer should you take to a Christmas party? Maybe I could ask Alexa what that question is. And see
if the answer comes back iced tea, then we know something's wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody asked for a musical selection.
No.
Dump cake flavored.
To a Christmas.
But, you know, that's the other thing, too. Do you take, I mean, we're talking about taking beer. Do you take hop water? Do you take seltzer? These are all options.
And I think lot of it, depends on the crowd.
Depends on the crowd.
How well you know the crowd of people you're bringing stuff for.
Yeah.
So this is funny. And I'm wondering if they happen to be a sponsor or they pay a lot for this. But according to Alexa, from advancedmixology.com, that's the source they are quoting, many people enjoy Sam Adams Winter Lager, one of the most common beers for Christmas.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's...
But it's going back to that corporate kind of...
Right. And do you take a six-pack of that and then also take your favorite, you know, barrel-aged, you know, extra stout beer? Christmas flavored. I that's where I would go.
Yeah.
Is I'd grab one of each, one for me and one for me. So, you know, because there's only, I'm only going to have 750 milliliters of that barrel aged beer. Mm-hmm. And the party's going to go longer than it'll take me to drink that. Well,
depending
I'll be sharing.
Yeah, depending on the one you get. So, yes, but that's very fair. No, I like that approach and I like that. So, the Brew Talk advice is you take two, one for you and then one to share with the rest of the group that you know you're going to at least to get some of the one that you're bringing for.
Right. And you can still go around and say, here's your thimble full of Utopia and you can taste it. And then here's a Modelo. for the rest of the night.
I don't know how many people actually bring thimbles to a Christmas party, but maybe you just, you come prepared.
A medicine cup.
Well, Solo makes the little shot glass.
They do.
Do. And those are like kind of like collector's items, too.
Absolutely. They can do that. All right. Well, let's take another break, and then when we get back, we're going to jump into our review beer that is a surprise for our panelists today. Super top secret. There's not going to be anything known until we get back on air and we make the reveal. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Alexa. The best beer to bring to a party is Rule 105's MK2K Go Broncos.
I love that. Micah, well done. Micah does a great job producing this show, and we appreciate his agility. But we are back in studio here at the Aloe Fiber Studios, again with Ryan Roth, our special guest, with Chad and Doc and myself here. And we're getting ready to... I'm getting ready to bring out the review beer, the surprise beer. So any guesses from anybody here?
I already guessed PBR.
You guessed PBR, so that's your guess. Chad, what are you thinking?
I haven't.
Montucky.
Montucky. I hope it's Montucky.
Yeah, do you? Great, wow, okay. I didn't bring Montucky. That's not what it is. I feel a little bit bad. So
setting the bar pretty high for whatever you're going to release.
Yeah, apparently is. So I don't know that this will count, but here we go. I don't know. Do we have a drum roll, Micah? Can we actually get a drum roll? He probably has one queued up somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Montucky!
You have a Utopias. Oh, my goodness. Where did you find a Utopia?
So I was actually traveling last week, as you guys know, and I walked into the BevMo that was right around the corner from my hotel, and there it was on the shelf. After we had talked about it last week and everything else, I'm like, I cannot pass this up. So, Doc, would you please do us the honors and open that box?
If it's not a Utopia, I'm going to cry. It is a Utopia.
Oh, my goodness. We've even got the special glasses.
Wow. What a treat. Okay, I already have made my call.
For those of you at home, this is just a gorgeous bottle to begin with, coming in the beautifully decorated box.
Yep, and then it also happens to have a golden... Looks like a flask, like you might find a genie in the bottle.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a brew kettle.
Like a pot still, yeah, a brew kettle. Mm-hmm.
And is that a ceramic bottle?
It does feel ceramic.
I think it is.
I'll let you do it.
So, yeah, after we talked about it on the show last week and all the different things, and we had reached out to our, our listening audience, and we didn't get any, formal sponsorship offers, but it was like that was just a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, you want to sponsor me?
But we just had such great kind of memories of this in a number of different areas, and so it was kind of like,
I'm going to make sure I pour the same.
Well, you should, yes, because I don't think that anybody should go without in this regard. But that is and I just noticed that I'll let you cap it. Not only is it limited, so it only comes out every other year, and it's 28. Percent alcohol. It actually is bottle number 4024. So they actually number the bottles on the bottom. I don't know how many are made. I'm guessing we could probably go online and figure that out. But
I'm glad I put the lid on tight.
Yeah, me too. I was watching you.
Did you notice it also has doors?
Has this great little door mechanism on the back. So the packaging is beautiful. The box is great. All the different things. I love the thing. It says illegal in 15 states. So, that Doc, why would it be illegal in 15 states?
Because beer is classified as a malt beverage up to a certain percentage. And beyond that, the malt beverage is not a malt beverage anymore. It is an alcohol or a liqueur, something like that. So if they're trying to pass this off as a beer, it is a beer. But it isn't going to make ends meet underneath that 14 or 15%
depending
maximum.
On the state. Yeah,
depending upon the state. Yeah.
So I'm reading the little card that comes with it, and it actually says, every decanter is numbered, and the first 3,000 are set aside for their coworkers. Give them based on seniority. Some folks save them for a special celebration, drink them immediately, or donate them to a charity auction. Each decanter is porcelain, shaped like our brew kettles and glazed with a copper, and then a row of them are displayed on a high shelf. It's a unique thing of beauty. I'm not sure that I could imagine a row of these displayed on a shelf, but one of them is quite nice.
Well, it has
itself.
Like a copper finish,
yeah.
But in the lights, it has a purple hue to
it. It definitely does. Yeah.
And it's really a beautiful bottle by itself. Yeah. Well, I wish it didn't have the Surgeon General's warning
yeah,
on it. But other than that, it's actually
it
gorgeous.
Is a little bit. So I don't know if you guys have tasted it yet, but I'm going to take my first sip. Have
well,
you tried it?
I'll tell you, the aroma is enchanting.
Fantastic.
Oh, it is definitely more of a barley wine than a beer in any way that we've ever had before.
And I have cheated and had a little sip.
That's okay.
While you
no,
guys
no, no.
were chatting because I just couldn't wait. And it's beautifully caramel and
oh, wow.
roasty malts and
spicy
mm. and you get that nice alcohol warming as it goes down.
This is like this is like bourbon.
It is.
You know, it's one of those ones you or brandy.
Brandy.
Yeah, brandy.
Sit in
yeah.
your little glass and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know,
oh,
and
by
I know
the way you have supplied us with some awesome Elkins glasses from Elkins Distillery that are beautiful for capturing the aroma and sticking your nose in.
That was why I had to bring them. I was like, if we're going to do this, we should do it right. And so brought the Glencairns and made sure that we got to enjoy those. And yeah. But yeah, I love the legs on this, and everybody always jokes about it.
Scott, there are 15,000 bottles produced in 2023
okay.
of this beer.
And 3,000 went to workers.
Yeah, so we got one of 12,000 bottles.
Yeah.
That's not a bad get.
And you got the 1,000th bottle
yeah,
that they gave.
1,024 that actually went out in production yeah. or into sales. So that's not mm. bad.
There's a lot of dark fruit flavors
there
that
is,
persist
yeah.
in this. Oh, my. Wow, I'm blown away. I really am blown away. This is awesome.
Doc is enjoying it. So
I'm going to say this is interesting, man.
and we know that tone of voice.
We know which interesting.
Yeah, we know which one you mean. So, Ryan, what do you think?
You know, I think I picked a pretty good night to sit in and be a guest.
Yeah,
I don't know
did.
If they're always this fun, but this is pretty fantastic. Scott, thank you for your thoughtfulness and your generosity to Brew Talk tonight. This is something very special and obviously very rare. And so the opportunity to taste this, there's a reason that it's this coveted and this special and won't be another one for two more years. So
that's right. They do it every 2 years yeah. now instead of every year. So yeah. this has got to last you until 2025.
2025. I will do my best. I will
but
try.
That's what's great about this is it's not one of those beers that you open and you have to drink
yeah.
all right away.
Yeah.
You
well,
can
if
open
you
this
do,
and,
you're in trouble.
That's right.
Yes, you are.
This is one. It's and people don't necessarily think of that of beer, that you
right.
can open it and recap it
mm-hmm.
and keep enjoying
yeah.
it. But this is definitely... something.
And it's flat, just to let everybody
it is,
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no carbonation on this. This is a flat beer. It's meant to be savored more like a distilled spirit,
mm-hmm.
like a whiskey or yeah. a bourbon or a brandy. And it has so many dark and deep flavors in
yeah.
it, dark fruit flavors, stone fruit flavors.
Toffee.
And then there's this toffee coffee chocolatey kind of back note to it that's just amazing.
I'm wow. surprised in a positive way because I like the sweetness that's mm-hmm. coming out of this. It's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said brandy, that was where it really kind of
yeah.
hit me. But it's got that, you know, all of those fruits and everything else you're talking about, they're really coming through, but they come through in a really sweet way. And I'm very much enjoying it. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I regret nothing.
Yeah, so I'm done with the radio for the rest of the night. I'm just going to go sit in the other room with my little glass here.
This is
got to
find
win.
A fireplace and a
yeah.
cigar.
Yeah, and a book or something
uh-huh.
like that, and I'm done.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. Well, and, you know, we still got to get through one more segment,
oh,
Doc, because
okay.
we're going to have to actually score the beer and everything
scoring.
Else. That's, that'll be interesting. You might need another little taste before you can do that. That's fair, and that's completely okay.
Oh, so. I've got plenty.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit last week, that really this is not something that you're going to drink. You know, unless you've got 10 or 12 friends or maybe 20 friends with you, you're not going to drink this in one sitting.
No. Correct. No. And if you do, something's wrong.
Yeah.
That'd be like drinking a Napoleon brandy.
Yeah.
It's an entire bottle of Napoleon brandy in one night.
Yeah.
Nobody would do that. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be doing that.
No, you shouldn't. And I feel like this is even going to have some different tasting notes and elements in different environments. I mean, you know, you guys were talking about going and curl up by a fire and get outside where it's cold and you've got a fire going or something else like that. I have a feeling that you might taste or experience just some different elements of this, which would be just fantastic.
Yeah, I even taste some like celery notes or what you might say vegetal notes at the very, very end of it. It's just, this beer is interesting. This is one of those ones that you want to sip. And then you sit there and discover, and then you want another sip because you have to discover more.
Yeah. It's complex. There's so many different things in there that you just can't.
That's exactly right,
it's hard
to
figure out which, all of them.
Oh. Yeah, this is, it would be really interesting if we knew someone who had a 2021 release, and it'd be like, hey, let's get together and see how those taste.
That's what I was saying.
I don't know if anybody likes me enough to...
That's like my story I was telling you all about going to GABF, and they put the sign up that said Utopia in front of their booth, and nobody was standing at Sam Adams' booth.
You're like, shocking.
And I walked up and got three samples before anybody else started to show up. It's like, I can't do any more than three.
Yeah.
And but it was so yummy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so is this.
So, Scott, was the anticipation worth it? I know you've had this for a little bit.
I've had it for less than a week, and it was absolutely worth it. I think the fact that we had talked about it last week kind of made it special. And, you know, Chad being able to be back in studio today, it was a perfect scenario for that. And, you know, it's one of the things I get to share with some great people, and we get to talk about a beer that we've discussed but never had the opportunity to really try, or at least as of late. So.
I know how the rest of your week's going.
Well, I have to get on a plane and go to London tomorrow. So it won't be.
You wouldn't take this on a plane with you.
No. Although I was able to bring it back on a plane, which was kind of nice, in my check luggage. So. I don't know if TSA is paying attention, but I brought a few bottles back. And
very cool.
I also ended up bringing back a bottle of Weller 12, but this is Brew Talk, not Bourbon Talk. But that's another really good one, so I was happy with that. So, all right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we will score our beer, and we'll see what we think, and we'll finish up the show. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk, coming to you from
Midtown Greeley.
Yeah. In the Aloe Fiber Studios, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. So, gentlemen, final thoughts.
Blown away. That's thought number one. Thought number two, wow, what an aroma.
Wow, is exactly right. Wow.
Yeah, you could just sit there and just live on the aroma. And then when you get a chance to taste it, it's this beautiful dark fruits with lots of toffee, as you mentioned.
Toffee and...
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't quit. It stays with you for a little bit after you're done.
Would you pair it with a fruitcake?
Actually, I would, to be honest with you.
Probably would make the fruitcake a lot better.
What about a dump cake?
There you go.
I wouldn't pair this with a dump.
No, I would not either. I feel like this would...
I don't think I'd be eating anything when I'm drinking.
No, this is definitely for me like an after...
Yes.
After dinner.
Maybe with a cigar.
Oh, yeah. I will have to try that. Weather gets a little
decent. Keep the cigar away from it. It might catch fire.
Yeah. No. I usually... My cigar is my favorite. I just pour me a couple fingers of whiskey... Dip the cigar tip in it.
That's what I was.
And then you light it and you go. And I can only imagine what this is going to do to that cigar with that being able to be a part of that coming through. So, I'm going to definitely do that.
What do you think?
The complexity was fantastic. The experience of sharing it with good friends and knowing kind of the backstory, Scott, that you shared tonight makes it even more special. But what a fantastic, fantastic pour this evening. I can see why it's so coveted. I can see why it's very rare, and they only do it a couple of years, which makes it even more special. So,
yeah. Well, I feel like that we're at a time where we should score this beer. And it seems slightly unfair because I think I know everybody's going to land, but we got to do it anyways. And we'll see if the 2023 Sam Adams Utopias is BrewTalk approved. On the count of three, you ready? One, two, three. Doc?
I got a keg, sorry to say.
Keg?
Keg, absolutely.
Keg. Four kegs,
I
mean, all the way around.
Really, all I really need is a tulip.
I know.
But I'll take a keg.
Well, yeah, I mean, we want to give it the... So we definitely have it BrewTalk approved, so that's fantastic.
Pumpkin dump cake.
Okay, that was unfair. I think we really need a good BrewTalk approved or beer one because it deserves it.
Beer.
There we go. I like that a lot. So
that was better.
Very good. So I know Chad said, you know, yeah, you could pair it with fruitcake, but then you said it wouldn't pair it with anything. Is this really more of like a dessert, kind of a cordial drink, or do you think that this is something that you could enjoy with meal?
Think about it. You just finished your meal and somebody pours you a snifter that has a little bit of this in it, yeah. And you go sit in the other room by the fire with your cigar, mm-hmm. and you chat with friends.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. I'm not eating anything.
Digestif is what they call it. As you sit after dinner, it helps you kind of digest the great meal you've just had.
Again, correct. I learned more today. This is fantastic.
So this would be perfect for after dinner when I had a prime rib, baked potato, and you know a nice salad or something to go with it. And then I went into the other room and sat down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be how I'd consume it. I don't think I would want to contaminate my taste buds with a bite of a baked potato while I'm
That's interesting,
You know what I'm saying?
I hadn't really thought about that way, but yes, absolutely. I could see that having a... It could be a detractor from
a
something like this.
Digestive, right? It's sort of like...
yes, yeah.
Some cookies and stuff like that you might think of as a digestive.
Right, yeah.
So...
It is kind of... So there's two types of like cordials. There's aperitifs, which kind of help stimulate your appetite before dinner, but this is definitely a digestif. Yeah. So after dinner to help you kind of get those juices flowing down.
A post-meal
beverage. Post-meal to help you digest.
Yeah, yep. And I would agree with that, yeah. I definitely can. And, Doc, I absolutely love your idea. It's like after dinner, this, fire, cigar, just chill, and it's... Yeah, you could spend an hour.
Yeah, can't you see yourself sitting in one of those big armchairs with the big back?
Yep.
Like nestled in one of the corners and the fire's just crackling in the corner?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be.
It's almost like we need a cigar club here in Greeley that we could do something like that.
Yeah, if they serve like prime rib out front, they give you a cigar and a glass of this to go sit in the back? Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine like if it was like downtown right next to the Cow or something who does their prime rib on Thursdays. That would be just incredible. Not that, you know.
Are you hinting at something?
I'm just saying I think it would be great.
I think somebody's buying tickets for us.
I think that there's an opportunity to do that. Yeah, so, well... Yeah, this is great. I don't know what else to say about it. I think it's a great kind of, you know, effort and element that Sam Adams has put together. And it's obviously gained popularity and everything else. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's the perfect kind of winter, warmer, Christmassy type of beer. It doesn't have the Christmas flavors in it like you'd expect for like nutmeg and cinnamon and stuff. But it doesn't need it.
No. So I don't know. Ryan?
Thank you, man. It was an honor to serve alongside you this evening, and thanks for Scott bringing this home from California.
Absolutely my pleasure. Well, on behalf of Doc and Chad, I'm Scott, and we are going to sign off for tonight. Hope you have a great week. We will be back with you next week on Brew Talk, and you stay thirsty.